Well, goodness sakes, it's 13 minutes after 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Tuesday. Been bundled up and warm out there. Winter certainly has made an appearance this week, but not horrible. We got to about 3 or 4 degrees in most of the parts of Central and Mid-Ohio. The sun is shining brightly. Winds are light. And I must say, the roads are in quite good shape, if I should say so myself.
If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake.
Adam Lapp!
Yes, that's my name. And talking technology and other relevant topics, that's my game. Wanted to start out on a sad note. Last week we lost the great musician David Bowie, and of course we found out yesterday that Glenn Frey, a very successful guitarist, songwriter, and singer of one of my favorite bands, the Eagles, also had passed. Very sad, as that was definitely unexpected. One thing about Glenn Frey, as I was working in radio in the early and mid-1980s, a lot of Glenn Frey's solo songs and his work on Beverly Hills Cop and Miami Vice, those were some pretty big hits and some very good, very catchy songs, ones I sometimes try to tackle during my karaoke experiences, and Glenn Frey will sorely be missed. His influence on music, and I think on life, with his outstanding songwriting, there's really no compare. What that guy could do, along with songwriting partners like fellow Eagle member Don Henley, when they sit down and write music, it certainly is a one-of-a-kind talent. And not to mention Glenn Frey's outstanding vocals, his clear voice, and great presentation that touches all musical genres. Lion Eyes, for example, I've heard that song on classic rock stations, of course, Top 40, since it was a huge hit, one of the biggest hits of the 70s. Even on easy listening stations, their music isn't, for the most part, loud, so even the easy listening stations, light rock, adult standard stations, I guess there are many terms, and of course those terms tend to evolve. Even stations of that genre will play the Eagles' music. Lion Eyes certainly comes to mind, not to mention country stations, as country and folk and bluegrass were major influences to the Eagles. So rest in peace, Mr. Glenn Frey. Certainly, if you want to talk about a person who idolizes your music and songwriting and image, you got one right here. We do take your phone calls on the Adam the Computer Guy show. Again, we can talk technology or, again, talk current events, especially some of the musical events of the last couple weeks. Kind of a open forum, like we do here on Marion's Place for Talk. Marion's radio station, 107.1 FM, WWGH. In the last few days, yes, me, Adam, I have worked on the WWGH website. As you can see, it looks pretty good, if I should say so myself. Sorry if I sound a touch arrogant, but I'm quite proud of my accomplishment. WWGH.com, that's the place. You'll soon have some biographies and photos, hopefully not the scary type of photos, of myself and my fellow staff members, or general managers, of course, Scott Spears and Sean Kraft, performing their craft, which of course is great radio, here at 107.1, located in the Marion Center Mall, as I sit here in front of the microphone, bundled up as the heat turns on, and I start to defrost. But of course, my mouth is always ready to speak about the topics of the day, and we certainly appreciate your listenership, if that's a word. Anyway, WWGH1071.com, that's the place. Information about the station, program schedules. We have a lot of shows that appear every week on this great station, and when we don't have a live host in the studio, we replay some of your favorites, some bits from some of these celebrities that our general manager Scott has interviewed. You might have heard Marla Gibbs earlier this hour. Talk about someone else that I idolize. What an actress. Her role in the Jeffersons was incredible. And on 227, not too shabby either. As you might know, her co-star on 227 was Harold Williams, who is a native of Columbus, Ohio, and he was also the very amusing Officer Smith on another favorite show of mine, Sanford and Son. So you never quite know who's going to stop by the studio or stop by the telephone to speak with Scott. You'll see that on the website, some of our celebrity interviews with much, much more to come, as well as archives of my show. Hopefully you like my show enough to listen to it multiple times, or if you couldn't listen to the show live, you can hear it by the power and magic of an MP3 download and your computer apparatus. Charlie Evers shows, I've put about 15 of his shows on. Marge Hazlett and a few of our other hosts with much, much more to come. Please email me. Let me know what you think about the new website, about the show, questions, comments, suggestions, and you know what? Even complaints are fine too, because I'm an open-minded kind of a guy. Want to hear what you have to say. Even if you just want to say hi, that's fine too. Some friendliness never hurts. Adam at WWGH1071.com. That's my email address. You can also email our legendary host, whom you'll hear from tomorrow and Thursday and Friday. And of course, you can hear encores of his shows throughout the day and on the website, Charlie Evers, Charlie at WWGH1071.com. And last but not least, one of our general managers, Mr. Scott Spears. He'd love to hear from you also. So drop him a line at Scott at WWGH1071.com. Anyway, on the Adam the Computer Guy show, we do a lot of fun things. Of course, we take your telephone calls. Call me with a question or comment. If you have a question about your own computer, maybe your smartphone is not being as smart as it should be, or maybe you weren't quite sure about which operating system, which brand, which type of computer to use, or maybe you even have a virus or some of those mysterious pop-ups. I'm quite expert at fixing that stuff, and on the show, we won't even charge you. How about that? That's how cool we are here at WWGH. Give me a buzz, pick up the phone, cell phone, landline phone, rotary dial, that's all fine. VOIP, or we call POTS, plain old telephone service, that's good too, because we find those phones are pretty reliable. The number is 740-383-WWGH, 740-383-9944. We will hear from a couple of our regular guest commentators today. Brandon Oak, who is from Central Ohio, discussing safety when using your smartphone, because sometimes we find that people have smartphones, but their method of using them aren't quite so smart. So he'll have some tips and some of his opinions, which are always interesting. And we'll go to Wales, UK, to speak with my guest commentator, Nick. We heard from him last show. He has some interesting anecdotes and other tidbits to share with you. So stay tuned for that. We kind of go over a lot of the current computer news and IT topics on the show. Previously, as in last week, we discussed Microsoft wanting to get people to use Windows 10. As I mentioned, I'm not a fan of 10 or 8. I stick with Windows 7, and that's pretty much what I'll be doing for the time being. I don't like this so-called start menu on Windows 10. They've basically taken the Windows 8 start menu and scrunched it up into what was a more functional menu in Windows 7. That Metro or modern interface, which I don't personally care for, and most people I know feel the same way, that was on a different screen with 8. They kind of scrunched it up and put it on the new start button on Windows 10, and they're saying it's part Windows 7, part 8, and mostly awesome. Well, it is part Windows 7, part 8, but awesome is being rather optimistic. So, we do certainly suggest you try different operating systems, but remember, Windows 7 is still available. People tend to prefer it. Many people even prefer Windows XP. It's been officially discontinued, but doesn't mean you still can't use it. And I think Windows 10 will need some improvements and some more scalability, some more things in common with the older operating systems that people seem to prefer before it will be universally accepted, especially by some of the more old-school type people like myself. I admit I can be a little stubborn sometimes when it comes to adapting and at least trying to like some of the changes or so-called improvements in technology, but often I feel that way because old reliable is something, is called old reliable for a reason. Something we're familiar with that we know works well, and we can also troubleshoot it. Windows 7 is also easier to fix things. Windows 10 kind of hides some of the abilities of yourself or a hired technological consultant. Technological consultant. There's a good word to say at 9:30 in the morning. It hides, anyway, the ability of yourself or a hired person to troubleshoot issues, kind of like on a phone or a tablet. So those are some of my quick ramblings about Windows 8, Windows 10. Again, feel free to chime in. Email me at adam@wwgh1071.com or give me a call right now. We can discuss any technological topic that you desire. 740-383-9944. Last week, on the same topic of Windows 7, 8, and 10, of course, what happened to Windows 9? I thought 13 was the unlucky number. Actually, I kind of like the number 13, but some people think it's unlucky. Apparently, Microsoft thinks 9's unlucky because there was no Windows 9. Anyway, last week, Microsoft announced that within the next 18 months, it will end support for Windows 7 and Windows 8.1, not in general, but on machines equipped with Intel's 6th generation core processors, which are called Skylake. As of mid-July in 2017, Windows 10 will be the only supported Windows platform on Skylake systems, and only the most critical security fixes will be released for earlier versions of Windows. And then only if the fixes don't cause compatibility problems for non-Skylake systems running Windows 7 and 8.1. Intel's upcoming processor, which is called Kaby Lake, sounds more like a singer, but maybe I'm thinking Colby Calais, kind of sounds like that. Qualcomm's upcoming 8996 processor and AMD's upcoming Bristol Ridge processor won't receive any Windows 7 or 8.1 support at all. On systems running Windows 10, Skylake enables up to 30 times better graphics and 3 times the battery life of Windows 7 PCs. Also, the combination offers better security with silicon-based credential guard. And of course, that's according to Microsoft. Why wouldn't they toot their own horn, right? This announcement drew some criticism. Yes, I'm not the only person who isn't loath to criticize moves like this. One blogger called it PR idiocy, which I think is fitting. However, with virtually every other high-tech product, the operating system and the hardware are wedded, from your TV to your smartphone. That comes from someone we quote a lot here on the show, Rob Enderle, the principal analyst at the Enderle Group. He said you can then tune the operating system specifically for the hardware and reduce the complexity of the result. Now, Microsoft will continue to support Windows 7 and Windows 8.1 on other systems. It will support Windows 7 for security, reliability, and compatibility through January 14th of 2020. So that's 4 years away. And that's when I'll maybe start worrying about switching an operating system. But for now, that's 4 years, and it's quite a while. Windows 8.1 will have security, reliability, and compatibility patches through January 10th, 2023 on the previous generation chips. And that now includes most of the devices available for purchase. Redesigning Windows 7 subsystems to embrace new silicon would introduce churn into the Windows 7 codebase. And this comes from Microsoft. And they said it would break Microsoft's commitment to deliver security, reliability, and compatibility to its installed base. Microsoft said old operating systems can't anticipate future hardware. And if you take new operating, you increase complexity, and there are issues relating to reliability for new hardware. It would reduce the need to buy new hardware, which then hurts profits and revenues for your hardware partners. Of course, the mighty dollar rearing its ugly head once again. Running the older versions of Windows on new hardware would be like buying a new Ford Mustang and putting a 2 to 5 year old engine on it because you know that engine better. The end result would be a mess. So again, some grappling of thoughts and opinions, and how should we handle new hardware and new operating systems, even if people might like the previous operating system. Of course, one thing about the new hardware is that it's faster, although I'm not going to be afraid to say I think I like the interface of Windows XP better. Windows 7, which looks enough like Windows XP that I can deal with it. One thing it adds is the ability to run 64-bit operations effectively. There is a 64-bit version of Windows XP, but it's not going to be compatible, and it's not known as being the most stable thing in the world. It's also not that easy to get. So with Windows 7, you can run at 64-bit and not be limited to, by today's standards, the very low amount of RAM of 3.25 gigabytes. The limit is much higher with 64-bit, so that provides an advantage to Windows 7. Of course, with every new operating system, you need more power, a faster processor, and more RAM to run things. So a bit of a trade-off, but RAM and hardware in general are rather inexpensive. So in terms of the wallet damage, it isn't too bad. So that's the latest update for you on Windows 7, 8, 10, and Windows 9, which seems to have not taken place, but that's okay. Adam Lepp here, Adam the Computer Guy, a twice-a-week feature on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. Good morning. Thank you for listening. Stay warm. Get some coffee. Crank the volume. Listen in the car, home, and office. I assure you, the Adam the Computer Guy show is always an entertaining and informative time. Give me a ring. Love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. We're going to talk again to Nick, my longtime friend and business associate and guest commentator on the Adam the Computer Guy show. Nick, thank you for hanging out with us last week. We've actually worked on some of the technical issues, and that's a continual road to improvement, even though Nick is on the other side of the world in Wales, UK. He can still come through loud and clear by the power and magic of the internet and sometimes from Ma Bell. Nick, good morning, and thank you today for your appearance on the Adam the Computer Guy show.
Hi, Adam. Nick here in Wales in the United Kingdom. Welcome to the Welsh section of the Adam the Computer Guy show. Or as they would say in Welsh, Croeso I Adran Gymraeg I Adam show, Cyfri Feador. I hope you're all okay there in Ohio and that the weather is not too bad. In Wales we've got thick fog, and it's what used to be called a pea super when I lived in London as a boy. I thought in this snippet I could just list a few of the brilliant inventions in the IT world invented by good old Brits. From the computer to the World Wide Web, the iPod to the typewriter, a lot of modern technology started out in the UK. These are my top 10. Number 1, the computer. A lot of people think it was someone like IBM or Bill Gates who invented the computer. But of course it was much earlier than that, and was in fact from the 1820s when Brit Charles Babbage invented his difference engine, which was a calculating machine. But the analytical engine he designed in 1834 had all the principles of a computer: a separate processor, working memory, programming concepts, and parallel programming, and even a printer. Number 2, the computer program. Babbage, again the original inventor of the computer, borrowed the idea of using pattern cards that they used to use on looms to control his calculating machines. And I remember as a kid in school in the Midlands in the UK having to punch out holes in ticker tape in order to send off our calculations to the computer in Birmingham University, which apparently occupied a whole floor of the building. Number 3, the telephone and telegraph. Born in Scotland, Alexander Graham Bell was the inventor of the telephone and the telegraph. Number 4, TV and possibly radio. In 1980, inventor David Edward Hughes demonstrated aerial waves and was able to send and receive radio, but it was eventually built on by Marconi. And then Scottish inventor John Logie Baird created the first TVs, starting from 1925, just showing silhouettes. By the time he'd reached 1927, he'd invented the first video disc recording system called Phonovision, and in 1928 he topped it off with colour. The web. Really, this should be number 1, but it's number 5 on my list. Brit Sir Tim Berners-Lee was working at CERN when he proposed a global hypertext system in March 1989. So anybody who tells you they've been working in the web before 1989, they weren't. It didn't actually exist. And number 6, the PDA. Anybody remember having a PDA like the Palm Pilot? Well, that was started in 1984 by the Zion Organizer, which was the first PDA, and that was made by a company owned by David Potter, a Brit, in the UK. Music in stereo. We all stick our headphones in and are used to hearing stereo. Alan Bloomlein was a prolific engineer, and in 1931 he patented the fundamentals of stereophonic recording and playback, and then surround sound. Number 9, the iPod. British inventor Crane Kramer. Doesn't sound very British to me, but there we are. He invented and patented a digital audio player in 1981 that looked rather familiar to something we know made by Mr. Apple. And number 10, geostationary satellites. In 1945, British science fiction author Arthur C. Clarke suggested putting artificial satellites in orbit over the equator, where they would remain stationary above the same spot. With 3 repeater stations in orbit, you could give television and microwave coverage to the entire planet. And we now have it. And with a combination of number 10, those stationary artificial satellites, and good old Tim Berners-Lee at number 5, and Mr. Babbage with his computers, we're now doing all of the things that we do, and our world wouldn't be the same without them. Back to you, Adam.
Thank you, Nick. Always excellent commentary from the other side of the great world we live in, from Nick in Wales. We'll probably talk to him again on Thursday. Of course, if you have a question for him, it probably costs too much to call that part of the world, but that's okay, because I can talk to him through the magic of the assorted tricks that we have here in the studio. How about that? We'll leave a little mystery for you. Email me at adam@wwgh1071.com about speaking with one of our guest commentators. Brandon will be on a little later this hour. Questions, comments, suggestions, or you know what, even a complaint is fine. I'd like to hear what you have to say. So drop me a line. Give me a call right now, too, to discuss technology issues, some of the news stories that I've covered and will cover, questions about your computer at your home or your office. Maybe your smartphone isn't quite as smart as you were hoping it would be. I provide free technical support. Don't be shy. I have 20 years of experience, so believe me, I think I know what I'm doing, or at least I pretend to, and, you know, sometimes that's okay. Anyway, the number at the station here is 740-383-WWGH. That's 9944. And we're located in the Marion Center Mall. Coming up in approximately 1.5 hours, it's the chat with our very own Linda Sims. Interesting lady. Of course, she takes your phone calls. Great perspective. So keep it right here for interesting talk shows throughout the day. And again, when we don't have someone live in the studio, we do a encore presentation of one of our favorite shows. Of course, Charlie Evers is sometimes on. We may have something from Scott Spears, or maybe even a celebrity interview or two. You never quite know. So keep your radio dial right where it is, and I assure you, we shall not disappoint. Also inviting you to listen to the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, Sunday, between 7:10 p.m. and 8 p.m. Nick mentioned about some of the technological innovations of the past few years, and of course the iPod with its cousins, the iPad, iPhone, and maybe even iWear. As you might have heard, the iOS, the operating system for the iPhone and iPad gadgetry, is now available for developers and includes some welcome upgrades that'll help you sleep better and stay organized. It'll be available to the general public at some time in the future. We're not quite sure when, though, but keeping you in suspense, that's always part of the fun. One thing that you may have heard is that your phone's screen, this again is an iPad or iPod phone screen, iPhone or iPad screen. Too many eyes for this time of the morning. Anyway, you might have heard, I think you know what I'm talking about. You might have heard that your phone's screen is ruining your sleep quality, and yet you still fall asleep with it every night. Apple is trying to help you get a better night's sleep with Night Shift, a setting that changes the colors on the screen at night. Researchers believe that the blue light emitted by LED screens halts the production of melatonin, which is the hormone that tells our brains to sleep. Now, switching from bright white and blue undertones to warmer colors, like red, orange, and yellow, is said to be easier on your eyes and allows your body to fall asleep naturally. How about that? Even when you sleep, your smartphone is smart. Now, apps like Flux and Twilight can already do this for your computer and your Android phone. Now, before 9.3, you'd have to so-called jailbreak your iOS device in order to alter the screen colors. And of course, Apple doesn't like it when people do that. And it's kind of done at your own risk, because sometimes when you do those kinds of things, the phone becomes a paperweight. But anyway, Night Shift will be built into the new iOS 9.3 and will let you customize the feature by changing the color temperature, that is cooler or warmer, and schedule it to run until sunrise. In related news on the Apple mobile devices, Apple tried to give us a one-stop shop for news last year with the News app. It is getting more personal with 9.3, showing stories that are more tailored to your interests. You'll see more articles that the app thinks you want to read, as well as suggested trending topics of news. Kind of sounds a little like Facebook, huh? Kind of spying into what you've done and what they think you'll like to give you customized information. It's either smart or nosy, depending upon how you look at it. Anyway, the news app will also get performance updates, so it will load faster and watch videos from the feed. Still wondering how to use the health app. That's had some feedback, not necessarily positive, for the Apple devices. Anyway, Apple will now highlight third-party apps that you can connect to the wellness dashboard to keep tabs on your workouts, weight, and sleep quality. And if you have an Apple Watch, you'll be able to see the movement data it collects from the health app. How about that? And last but not least, gosh, I knew I would stumble on a word at 9:40 in the morning, but that's okay. iPads can be incredible teaching tools, and now they get extra features to help them fit better into a classroom. And one thing that Brandon and I discussed last week was integrating technology in the classroom. Is it a good or bad thing, and how can we optimize it? How can we make technology less of a toy and more of a learning tool? So I'm pretty happy to hear about this. So the classroom app helps teachers deliver lesson plans and track their students' progress. Well, the process of progress, I guess that's okay. Students can share a single iPad by logging in with different accounts to personalize what they see. Apple is also introducing Apple IDs for education that are created and managed by school administrators. Oh, let's also cover this, because maps and GPS, always a big topic in the smartphone world. Apple's in-car entertainment and navigation CarPlay gets upgrades courtesy of Apple Music and Maps. You'll get to browse suggested songs and artists in Apple Music before you head out. While you're on the road, a new nearby feature uses maps to help find food, fuel, and other services. Of course, I would kind of like them to find radio stations, and I'm sure they would find WWGH, because we're the best. We have local hosts discussing interesting topics. We take your calls, provide you with news, weather, and sports 24 hours a day. And of course, again, be sure to visit our new and improved website, designed and managed and updated by yours truly, www.wwgh1071.com. Welcome to another Technological Tidbit with me, Adam, thecomputerguy.com, and my guest commentator, Mr. Brandon Oak. Brandon, we were having lunch yesterday, and we both noticed that there are a lot of people of all ages who seem to be married, if not super glued, to their phone or other smart device. And we both commented, that's not really smart, because if you're not careful, the driver may not be able to brake and a serious accident could occur. Now, certainly, I'm as guilty of anybody as probably spending too much time on Facebook and texting and other things I can do with this mini fantastic computer that lives in my pocket 24 hours a day. But I think safety is always a top priority, and just like most of us, I'm probably guilty of being a little too glued to my smart device. What are some tips, Brandon, that you can give our listeners regarding enjoying your phone and your smart device, but doing it safely and not letting it interfere with your ability to thrive in the great world that we live in?
Well, you know, the first thing I would suggest would, you know, seem a little too obvious, you know, then you might think, actually, maybe not, is that maybe you should start paying attention to your surroundings more so than looking down at your phone or talking on it and not paying attention to what's going on around you. Because I was in the store the other day, and then I figured out, I was walking behind somebody the other day, and they were just talking away on their cell phone, not paying attention, pushing a cart, and then a few people actually had to dodge and get out of the way, and then the other person looked at them as though they did something wrong, when it was the one using the phone, seemingly, that was being rude. So I don't know when it became a norm to be rude, but apparently it's become a trend. It's been a very vicious trend. It has caused a lot of issues. It's kind of staying away from the darker side, but we all know about the dangers of texting and driving. We've seen the results, and people still do it. And they don't seem to quite put the two together as to why you shouldn't be doing that in the first place. But I digress. I mean, as in this whole social environment, you'll see people, they'll be sitting next to each other, and all they do is, you know, they text each other while they're sitting next to one another, to each, which seems to confound me. I don't see why they do it. I mean, when did we stop talking face-to-face, and why? It just doesn't make sense. Again, it just becomes a trend to seemingly just be rude or just completely distant in your own world, even though you're in the same one. I don't think people quite realize the impact or the effects. I mean, you just kind of lose that personal touch in almost any kind of setting with the whole mobile devices, with such ease of access and so on and so forth. And so, with that, I leave it.
Adam Lapp! Yes, that's me. And thank you for listening to the Adam the Computer Guy Show, a twice-a-week feature on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH, LPFM 107.1 on your radio dial, and proudly broadcasting across the great world we live in on the internet at WWGH1071.com. We discuss technological topics here. We have guest commentators. If you'd like to be a guest on the Adam the Computer Guy Show, that would be awesome. We can sit here in the studio, drink some coffee, Diet Coke perhaps, have a donut, maybe even order a pizza. How about that for 9 o'clock in the morning? Come down to the studio, talk tech with me, take calls from our listeners. Send me an email, adam@WWGH1071.com. Would love to have you as a guest. We can also answer your questions on the air, leave a message on our Facebook, or can send me an email, adam@WWGH1071.com. Scott Spears, host of our early afternoon program, would also love to hear what you have to say about the show. Email him, Scott@WWGH1071.com. And last but not least, if you would like to be a sponsor of the Adam the Computer Guy Show, I can assure you it's a very good deal. We will give you mentions not only on the show live, but throughout the day and on other shows. Send me an email, adam@WWGH1071.com, to discuss sponsorship opportunities for my show. It would be simply awesome. Of course, we discuss some of the news of the technology world, not just computers and smartphones and tablets and things like that, but also things that you can use throughout your home. We discussed a fancy Samsung refrigerator last week. $5,000 is the estimated cost, but considering all the things that it does, not a bad deal. Sony, last week, announced its multifunctional light. Won't be quite as expensive as the refrigerator, so on a radio announcer's salary, might be more of an option for me. Anyway, the Sony multifunctional light is a ceiling lamp that has sensors to talk to smart things. Gosh, am I watching a science fiction movie or discussing a new item? Not sure. Anyway, this multifunctional light from Sony includes sensors for motion, illumination, temperature, and humidity. It also has a Wi-Fi radio, a memory card slot, a condenser microphone, and an infrared controller for air conditioners. Air conditioning. Of course, we'll use that in a few months when winter is over and summer makes a reappearance here in Central and Mid-Ohio. Sony Electronics spokesman John Dolak said that the lamp form factor offers convenient placement. He said the device will be used to control other appliances and detect various things in or about a room. And we gave thought to where we could install it so that it would work as well as possible. And John Dolak also said, ultimately, we decided to bring the platform to life in the form of a ceiling light, since the ceiling generally has few obstructions that might impede the effective operation of the multifunctional light. As for details on Sony's strategy with this donut-shaped multifunctional light, he declined to share specifics, but it is scheduled for launch in Japan during the first half of this year. He said, for the time being, we will focus only on the Japanese market, given that this is a new business venture and a new market for us. Therefore, we have nothing to announce about other areas at this time. Well, since I can't afford to take a trip to Japan, I'm quite a fan of Japanese food and Japanese culture, so that would be kind of cool. But again, on a radio announcer's salary, that just isn't going to happen. I'll wait till they introduce this in the United States, and I think we'll give it a try, because it does sound interesting, to say the least. Always looking to make my experience at my home, you know, a man's home is his castle, as fun and easy and secure as possible. And this multifunctional smart light sounds quite cool, if I should say so myself. Anyway, about 4 minutes before 10, and the top of the hour features, which means the end of the Adam the Computer Guy show for another Tuesday. Still time to chime in, take your phone calls, questions, comments, suggestions, complaints, suggestions for future topics. That's all fine. Give me a ring. I won't bite. I promise. 740-383-WWGH 383-9944. In previous shows, we discussed some of the top websites in both the United States and the world. We covered most of the countdown last week, then kind of ran out of time. What I want to cover now, before we end today's show, are the top 10 websites in the United States. These are the big ones, my friends, and you might find a couple surprises. For example, number 10 is Reddit, which has news links that people submit, kind of a variation on the social networking theme. Again, bit of a surprise there, because PayPal is just 19, and a major bank, especially here in Ohio, Chase.com is 17, Craigslist is 13. I can assure you, I use Craigslist a lot more than Reddit, but Reddit is number 10. Netflix, no surprise there. They are gaining rapidly. Number 9. Twitter, 8. eBay, number 7. Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia that you can contribute to, number 6. Yahoo, one of the long-time search engines, of course, not as big as the G search engine, which we'll cover shortly, but they're number 5, Yahoo.com. YouTube.com, which is owned by a certain search engine. Well, they're now called the ABC.xyz, but by Google. Anyway, YouTube is number 4. A little confusing, but that's okay. It'll keep you up in the morning. Amazon.com, company where you can buy pretty much anything at usually a pretty good price. I am an Amazon shopper myself, and every experience I've had has been great. Things always arrive quicker than you think. The price is right, and you get what you ordered. Great site, number 3, Amazon.com. So, of the two remaining sites, Google and Facebook. Now, in the world, Facebook is actually number 1. But in the United States, Facebook is number 2. The very large social networking platform for business, for home, for pretty much anywhere. I could probably spend a whole show boring you about all the things you can do on Facebook, but I think you know what Facebook is. Anyway, Facebook.com is number 2. Number 1, again, we've hinted around about it, but Google is the number one website in the United States. Of course, Google has added so many other features, their Gmail, their calendar. As I mentioned, they own YouTube. Google.com, number one. Pretty much every day of my life during the last 10 years, I've used Google in some way, and I probably am not in a minority in that regard. Speaking of Facebook, the number two website, of course, connect with us on Facebook. Be our fan. Leave a message. Make a comment. Search for WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1, or click on the link on our new and improved, wonderful website, WWGH1071.com. Click on Facebook, and you shall be connected. Please become our fan, because we like that kind of stuff. Well, anyway, that's about it for the Adam the Computer Guy show. Thank you very much for listening. Your listenership, is that a word? Very much appreciated. Please be sure to stay tuned for the top of the hour features, news, weather, and a few teasers from previous guests, celebrity and otherwise. Linda Sims coming up at about 12 minutes after 11 Eastern Time. Talk to you Thursday. Adam Lepp, WWGH.